I'm going to share with you some strategies for setting goals to create a brand new teaching practice or reinvent your existing one using principles that we can use also to set goals for students in our classroom. You're looking to change things up in your classroom. You'd like to see more student participation and interest, or you really need a better way to tap into each student's individual abilities. Maybe you're happy with everything in your classroom and you're just that teacher who will stop at nothing to provide the very best opportunities for your students so you're always open to hear more good news. Well, let me personally welcome you to the Student-Centered Science Teacher Podcast. I'm your host, Lisa Carosis. I'm a secondary science teacher with 11 years experience teaching at-risk students in a distance learning cyber model. And yet, I've realized success in my efforts to plan for and execute student-centered learning. See, I believe that a science teacher's job goes beyond transferring specific content knowledge. Rather, I believe our duty is to prepare students for life beyond our walls, to help develop them into informed, active members of society who can confidently make all kinds of decisions. So on this podcast, our discussions will focus on strategies to promote active learning in the classroom and their outcomes, as well as creating and nurturing a culture that enables students to take ownership of their learning by planning next steps and implementing our feedback. Here, we believe that our classrooms are learning laboratories, not just for students, but also for teachers. You'll always get encouragement to keep on experimenting because what you do and how you do it matters. Let's jump into today's topic. All right, today we are talking about setting goals. And it's setting goals for you in your teaching practice and what you want to achieve there. Really, this is for you if you are just tired of doing what you're doing, but you don't know even where to begin in changing it. So we really can't make progress unless we know where we're going. So we're going to focus on setting goals here. And I want to remind you, as a teacher, you know how to set goals. You can set goals better than the average person because you set goals for your students. Chances are you set goals for every single lesson you teach. And when we set those goals, those learning objectives, in science, it really needs to be for not just what students are going to learn, but also what they're going to be able to do. And if you're not approaching your lesson planning that way and your lesson objectives that way, it's a really great addition. I definitely did never really know about or understand how much students need to do to learn, but realistically, knowledge literally cannot be transferred. So when we are teaching by telling, we may not be doing anything at all. So when we focus on what students need to learn, we're focusing on those content aspects, the core ideas of our lesson. If you teach biology, maybe you're talking about the cell on a single day. I teach chemistry. Today I'm teaching about double displacement reactions. And those are core ideas that they absolutely need to be able to know. But there is also an aspect, and this is especially true for science teachers and science students, there's an aspect of learning that is required to be accomplished through practice. And I would probably make the argument for several other courses as well. I mean, certainly if you're an art teacher, you can't really learn all there is to know and do with art if you're not doing any art, right? And the list goes on. We definitely learn as human beings through experience. And so to negate that part of our lesson planning would be doing our students a huge disadvantage. So core ideas and practices is what hopefully we're delivering to our students. And if you don't already, I just want to give a quick shout out. This is something I help teachers do in both of my memberships, the Active Learning Laboratory, as well as the Digital Instructional Design Studio, teaching you how to take those standards you're supposed to be using as a guideline for what to teach, and also then discern how to teach and how to incorporate it into a really effective lesson plan flow. When I craft my learning objectives for what students should be able to learn and do, I am using something called learning intentions and success criteria. And the way I do this is adopted from something called the SOLO taxonomy that I read about and first learned about through the text Visible Learning. What works best for optimizing student learning in science? The idea of there being, of course, there's a lot of things that work, but some things work really, really well. And they definitely are huge proponents of learning intention success criteria. This is a text I hugely support. You pick up for yourself and study. It was really totally changed my whole perspective on my role as a teacher in the classroom. That said, I don't use their suggestion for learning intentions and success criteria quite as closely as they present it as a taxonomy. You know, when we say taxonomy, we're thinking Bloom's and the triangle, the pyramid, where one strategy might work across the board or very broadly for many students, and the MTSS, our multi-tiered system of supports, and we sort of streamline and focus for different students at different times, or we use the basic knowledge at the bottom to then craft our own knowledge at the top. So as a taxonomy, learning intentions and success criteria can become quite difficult. I prefer to keep them simple, at least when I present them to my students. So learning intentions, you can pick them up tomorrow. Learning intentions present a reason to study the topic, in my view. When I look at what is my learning intention, I am trying to convince the students why they need to learn it. And this is where I find most of my standard language belongs. So today I'm learning about double displacement reactions, so I can. And then there is a bulleted list. And that bulleted list, I mean, the first one on my bulleted list is always talk like a scientist, because you're going to learn about what a double displacement reaction is, and there's a whole lot of other terms you're going to use in working through that problem, that experience, that content. And then the other side of that coin, not the core idea, but the practice, is the success criteria. So a success criteria you could think of just as an actionable list for students to use. And this is what makes it so wonderfully student-centered, is that they could actually use that list to then measure their progress toward learning. As you have planned your lesson, you know what they need to be successful, and you know what you've prepared for them to do. If they have that list to measure themselves against, they could be much more responsible. They could be much more centered on their own progress and performance. So a simple statement like, I'll know I'm successful when I can, does wonders. And sometimes this list is very short. Maybe it's 2 items in the day. Maybe it's 5 items in the day. I'm not sure I ever had more than 5 at a time. But wonderfully, what I do with this in a unit review then is just collect all my success criteria and present them in a list. This is what you need to be able to do on your science test. Now, chemistry is a very doing subject. It's very heavy problem solving. But when we're focusing on science as practice and teaching science as a practice and teaching observation skills and questioning skills and hypothesizing and data analysis skills, then the doing is that portion of science that we often gloss over. Okay, so mini lesson there for you on setting goals for your students. But this video is about setting goals for you and changing and modifying, enhancing your teaching practice in a student-centered way. So I'm going to suggest that you could be more successful if you adopt something like this learning intention success criteria framework like we do for our students. The authors Invisible Learning and those of the Solo Taxonomy, they do suggest that students are more successful when we communicate clear expectations of their performance for us and for themselves. In this text, Visible Learning, it's a compilation. The author, John Hattie, has gone and done lots and lots of research, analyses of analyses, and quantified, and that's why they're able to talk about what works best. They've really quantified what works best, and they do something called effect size, and clear expectations have a very large effect size compared to what would be considered baseline 1 year worth of learning. Now, if we set our goals for our teaching practice, as I said, according to what we want to achieve, the what, right? Just like a core idea for our students, but the what we want to achieve and the how we want to achieve them, then maybe we can be more focused in how we are going to prepare and deliver our lessons. So this what being kind of our overarching purpose, and if you haven't watched my video on creating and determining a clear, profound purpose, I would highly suggest you spend some time there because it, in my experience, forms the foundation for success with the entire transition you might be trying to achieve. So we have our overarching purpose, but then we have specific outcomes that our lesson plans need to be able to produce every day. And I'm not here to tell you what those are. They are going to be dependent upon what your purpose is for your classroom. Your students, wherever they come from, whether they are very diverse or very not diverse, that's our job as professionals, right? And that's where we can really let our professionalism and our expertise shine, is to hone in on who we have and treat our content as a vehicle to teach them something so much more. So I would recommend that you focus on this. If you determine your overarching purpose and then set goals from there. For me, as an example, my overarching purpose when I decided to go student-centered and just ditch lecture, that whole lecture hall lullaby, I decided I'm going to teach science using student-centered instructional strategies so students can learn to observe the world around them and use those observations to make informed decisions throughout their lives. Now, my overarching purpose sounds deep and profound, but really it's very, very real. A little bit of my backstory is that I do work for a cyber school, and as a cyber school, we are a melting pot for the entire state of students attending school. Students who leave one school and then they come to my school. And so we have representation from across the entire school. Having taught chemistry for 13 years, I have found so many students don't even intend to attend college. They maybe were enrolled in my course just for the science credit. And let's face it, chemistry is hard. I mean, I have adults that I meet and I tell them I'm a chemistry teacher and they got them to throw up on me, right? But what I had to ask myself was, is my purpose in their life, my role for them, is it to deliver them chemistry knowledge or can I give them something more? And profoundly, what's the word I'm looking for? In a very broad way, my students need life skills. Every student needs life skills. But my students need to learn science so that they can be responsible adults, informed citizens, make great decisions for their family someday or for themselves in any capacity. And the specific outcome plans I wanted to produce were as follows. I wrote, I know I'm successful when my plans can. Notice I did not say when I can, because, oh my, as teachers, and I did this, I probably did think to myself, when I can, but when teaching it to you, I want to emphasize that any success or failure you have in your classroom isn't necessarily about you. Student-centered instruction is not about us. It's about them. Notice my overarching purpose is about students, so students can. And my outcomes, I'm successful when my plans can. So yes, ultimately, perhaps I've created the plan, but the plan is going to do the work. And no, plans don't always go as planned, but we deal with that somewhere else. That's too long of a conversation for today. I'm successful when my plans can increase rigor with activities that require students to uncover core ideas. When I read the Visible Learning book, I honestly didn't even read the whole book. I got a few examples in and said to myself, self, you're doing nothing in your classroom except talking, talking, talking. Provide experience. That's where it's at. And with that, automatically comes rigor. So I aim to increase rigor. I aimed to collect artifacts of learning every day. I remember times when my administrators would send an email and say, we'd love for you to send examples of your student work. And I was thinking, that must be for art teachers or music teachers. Surely a science teacher couldn't really produce artifacts of student work. So it became my mission to make sure I could collect something from every student every day. And finally, to do both of those things in a way that nurtured growth mindset. Because as I said, chemistry, tough, tough stuff. You got to have some grit to get through it. And those are the basic goals that guide all of my lesson planning and my entire approach to teaching. It supremely focuses me on my outcomes while keeping my purpose right there in mind. And provides a guide for me to actually do my lesson planning. So using them together is really the key. If you've determined your purpose, you've done that introspection, that reflection, go you. You are halfway there. But now to follow through, to make that transition, to switch the way you are normally used to teaching science and embark on this new journey is not little. I was in a department meeting this morning. They were introducing how the state of Pennsylvania is going to be adopting something like the next generation science standards. And someone wrote in the chat, this is a fundamental curriculum shift. It is a fundamental instructional shift. And as such, because we have never seen instruction like this, if you're listening to me, you are probably approximately my age. I'm going to guess somewhere between 30 and 50. Here in 2023, you did not experience this type of instruction, and you were not taught it in teacher school, and you did not see it mentored in your cooperating program, because it's relatively new as a concept, but so, so important. Next time, I'm going to talk with you about organizing your active learning efforts. So I hope today's lesson on setting goals was really helpful to you, but I do hope that you will also join me next time, because when you are managing now both curriculum and students, a lot of juggling going on there, and I want to give you some tips and tricks for being successful with that. Remember that you can do more with all that I'm helping you with here. I do have a 3-step action plan for turning your science classroom into a learning laboratory. It's all the content, all the things that I teach in the Active Learning Laboratory, a very inexpensive $7 a month membership with a supportive community attached. And if you want to learn more, get in the nitty gritty about those learning intentions and success criteria, the way I do them, you can certainly join the Digital Instructional Design Studio, where we spend lots and lots of time refining them. You know, like, subscribe, share with a friend, do all the things, and I hope to see you back here soon.